Welcome to the world of Krypton, where all your Superman fan fiction and science fiction dreams come true. Today's episode, we're going to be covering the world of Krypton, the main cast that was introducing the characters, and how Adam Strange has, what he has to do with making Superman become the Superman that we know and love. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
I made up a dance move for this. I call it the Superman.
DNA?
The Superman.
What's up, everyone? We are here to talk about episode one of Sci-Fi's new series called Krypton. Today we'll be breaking down the show's setting, aka Krypton and the city of Kandor, the main characters that have already been introduced, and the main events that are happening in this episode, which is a lot, and we'll be ending with some special character corner segments and a little bit of news and gossip from Cameron Cuff himself. So let's start off. I'm Steph Sabra. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Of course, yeah. Hello, everybody. My name is Anthony Becerra, and if you guys have long-time listeners to AfterBuzz TV and also Popcorn Talk Network, you might have heard me on Marvel's TV News as Ant-Manthony and on DC Movie News at Batman. So yeah, hello everybody.
So let's just get into it. What are your overall thoughts about this episode?
I gotta say, it was good. I liked it. I liked the content that Sci-Fi's been putting out. I haven't been able to see any of the newer stuff, such as I can't really remember off the top of my head, but like I know they've stepped up their game. So I was like pretty excited once I saw this. I was like, oh cool, I'm gonna jump on this like newly established like world that's kind of like in its own vacuum. So I was very excited to start on it. Overall thoughts, they're pretty great. I liked it. Yeah. I liked the episode. And I can't wait to jump in.
Yeah, I agree. I was really excited. Sci-Fi has been stepping up their game. I feel like their budget is better than a lot of other networks. Oh, yeah. And I was excited to see. I had seen a little of the pre-reviews coming out that this was a show that was going to be really focused on the storytelling and setting of Krypton, which I love that character development that we don't oftentimes see as much in comic book movie forms and show forms. So I was really excited about that. I guess we should just get into topic one since we're on the topic of Krypton and introducing the world. So
Right. Basically
the show is set two generations before Superman, mm-hmm. aka the Man of Steel,
Yep. Before
his planet was destroyed. And it follows Superman's grandfather, Seg-El. And just a little note that it is based on DC characters, but the show producers have said that it doesn't have any direct, they don't want to have direct ties to anything in particular. But it's executive produced by David S. Goyer, who also did Man of Steel, Batman mm-hmm. vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice, and the Dark Knight trilogy. So that's really exciting. And Cameron Welsh, who's Ash vs. Evil Dead, will serve as the executive producer and showrunner. So that's just a great start
to
that. Yeah.
I didn't know that one. Yeah.
So Krypton is kind of a creepy place right now. It's set up into, they've introduced this power ranking and guilds, which we've kind of taught. Do you want to get into that a little bit?
But I like what you're touching on, like the whole like overall setting of it. Yeah, it is very dark. I did write down as the creators, Damian Kindler, who has his name attached to Sleepy Hollow, Stargate SG-1, as well as Atlantis, Stargate Atlantis.
Oh, awesome.
So it has like very like the sci-fi esque aspect of it is so gorgeous.
Yeah.
On like how it looks and everything. And also David S. Goyer is attached to a film called Dark City, and I saw some of the inspiration that was in like how the towers seem. It feels like it's straight out of Dark City, which actually got inspiration from Metropolis, like an old film. But yeah, sorry,
pulling kind of from the movies that you see the main directors have produced. So I love that. And it is in a technologically advanced society.
Yep.
So we do see that they do use a lot of advanced technology, but they're also with the Rao rulership right now. So mm-hmm. there's this aspect of religion that's kind of making it advanced yet very conservative and religious almost.
Oh yeah, that's a great point. And we see that aspect of religion with I believe it's the cult of Rao, which is later on we'll talk about it more, but it's the man with the mask, with the golden mask and everything. But yeah, just to touch on it, so it takes place 200 years before the birth of Kal-El Superman, and it is a utopian planet, and it orbits a red sun, and the biggest city on the Krypton is Kandor, which is where our city takes place. It's not, I don't think they officially call it the capital, but you can take it as so.
Yeah, it's the main city that I think we'll be seeing. We saw in kind of the wider shots that there are there was one other city I saw, but all of them have that kind of
the dome structure
okay. over them. So that will be interesting to see what other settings that they'll go into. We have a few other settings that we see in this particular episode that we'll mm-hmm. touch on later. But it kind of did give me this Star Wars New Hope type vibe, you know, with the yeah. whole Emperor setup. And
also, also real quick, like the first scene is straight out of like the first Star Trek movie.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I was just like, oh, cool. I was like, I didn't have a problem. Like, this is a perfect way to like establish what kind of character he is. So I'm like, all right.
So let's, before we get into what actually happened in this episode, let's establish the main characters that were touched. Right. Anthony, okay. give it to us.
All right, so pretty much there's four main houses within the world of Krypton. So we have the Els, the Zods, the Vex, and the M. Okay, so starting with the House of the Els, we have Seg-El, which is our main hero, who's played by Cameron Cuff. And then we have Val-El, which is the grandfather to Seg-El, which is the man that we see get, like, walks a plank and then just gets falls down into the chasm. So he's the grandfather that dies. We also have Tar-El, which is played by Rupert Graves, and that's the father to Seg-El. And we have Charles-El, which is played by Paula Malcolmson, who's mother to Seg-El. And apart from that, so what's important for that, well, this is a distant generational line of Superman. But if you guys have seen Man of Steel, Jor-El is actually Seg-El's son, who's played by Russell Crowe in The Man of Steel. And he just so happens to be Krypton's greatest scientist. Jor-El is Krypton's greatest scientist, so it makes sense when we see Seg-El get pulled into the Guild of Science, which I thought was really interesting, setting him up for all that. Apart from that, we got the Zods played. So we have Lyta Zod, who's played by Georgina Campbell, and she's Seg's love interest. And I saw some cool, like, Romeo and Juliet sort of, like, vibes from it for, yeah. like, the different houses or, like, you know.
True. Montagues.
Yeah, and also, yeah, there's also, like, the Barrio, and, like, he's, like, nothing. He's rankless, and she's part of the Zods and everything. And there's also Allura Zod, and she's played by Anne Ogbomo, and she's a mother of Lyta. She's, like, the super, I don't know, she comes off of, like, a very, like, general combatant. You know,
mm-hmm. She and this, is yeah, she's cool.
Yeah, she's pretty cool. I gotta
but
say,
but intense. Very, you would not want to mess with her.
Terrifying, yes. And descendants from them, we have Drew Zod, also known as General Zod, who's played by Michael Shannon in Man of Steel. So that's like their distant lineage, which is funny because like they end up fighting in Man of Steel, but here they're like lovers.
Yeah,
I was like, ooh, so that's cool. And after that, we have the Vex, and so we have Darren Vex, played by Elliot Cohen. And he's a chief magistrate of Kandor, which is he's a man who sentences the grandfather to death. And then we have his daughter, the fifth-born daughter of him, called Nyssa Vex, played by Wallace Day. And she's a junior magistrate. She's the one who gets paired up with Seg-El in the first episode. And then lastly, we have the M. And there's just one man here, and his name is Dev M, who's played by Aaron Pierre. And he's a cadet of the Krypton military and is set to be paired with Lyta Zod. So, and that's pretty much the breakdown of the houses and also the main characters. Yeah. Well, apart from that, we do have Misk characters. We have Kem, played by Rasmus Hardiker, who's Seg's, I call him Seg's homie, pretty much. Like, his bro, yeah.
Yeah, I would be friends with him.
Yeah, so that's his name, Kem. And then apart from that, we do have Adam Strange, played by Sean Sippos. And basically, he's like a human from Detroit that travels back in time to help Superman be born. So mm-hmm. that's like kind of his old mission. But I'll touch more on that later. We have a little character corner later coming on. And then we also get touches of a little glimpse of Brainiac, who's played by Blake Ritson, who just looks terrifying. And
so
he's,
awesome.
To sum him up in just real quickly, he's an extraterrestrial cyborg or android that shrinks and steals cities. So that's what you saw in those globes.
That was an awesome scene. We'll get into.
Those are like total little cities, and he steals them all across the galaxy. And he is the sole responsible for destroying Krypton. And last but not least, we have the Cult of Rao representative, which is a guy with the golden mask face. I don't know, have too much on him, but we'll break down what we think he's from and everything later.
Yeah, he definitely is a vital role in this. And before we get into kind of how these characters played into this episode in particular and what we think they'll be in the future, can you tell us about that exciting new podcast?
Oh, yeah. So... yeah, if anybody wants to have some fun and learn and growth in all areas of your life, man, for those who do, we have a podcast just for you. So it's Conversations with Maria Menounos Podcast Edition, and it's hosted by our AfterBuzz TV founder and And drops every Friday on iTunes. So Conversations with Maria Menounos features celebrity and influencer interviews along with secrets and tips on how to be better in all aspects of life, from health and wellness to career relationships, finances, and more. Let our Maria be the big sister you've always wanted. So just go to iTunes and subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos for free. Be sure to rate and comment. And when you do, please let Maria know that it was us who sent you there. It was the Kryptonians over here.
Yes, make sure the Kryptonians get that little message.
So yeah, Conversations with Maria Menounos podcast edition. Check it out. It drops every Friday.
I'm really excited about that. You guys, Maria is so awesome. Okay, so let's just get into this intro scene because I was shook in the beginning where so quickly we see the main kind of person, in the person who connects it all, Val El in the beginning, who just gets sent into the abyss and dies.
Yeah, that was a very emotional scene. Yeah, especially for Seg, poor little guy. He definitely had some deep-rooted connections with his grandfather. Mm-hmm. I hope to see some. Well, I'll probably leave that for predictions later on, actually.
Love how he was like, keep believing in a better tomorrow, which is such a Superman slogan, the hero of tomorrow, before he was shipped off.
Oh, nice save. Catch. Yeah that's
so
cool.
I love that. I mean, this episode had so many little Easter eggs that we'll touch on a little bit of that. There's just a lot to get
as
into.
As best we can.
Yeah, as best we can. And let us know if there's anything in particular that we didn't hit that you guys would like us to hit. And on that note, if you're on YouTube, make sure that you're liking us, commenting, questions, anything you have. And if you're listening to us on iTunes, make sure you rate us 5 stars and leave a comment, and hopefully we can shout you guys out when we can. And so after he's shipped off, then we're fast forward 14 years into the future,
right?
And we get introduced to Seg-El as an adult, which I just love the character choice, the actor choice for this character. I feel like he really does the character justice, and he gives me this Aladdin street rat vibe.
Oh, yeah.
That becomes our hero.
Yeah, I totally dig him. He's like a classic like superhero. Like, well, not a superhero, but he's a classic hero of our story, where he's just like kind of like an underdog, or he doesn't really care for authority, and he's just like, whatever, you can beat me up, I can dance all day. Like,
yeah,
he's such a total badass. I can't help but admire him, and I'm glad that he's our hero of the story.
Yeah, I agree. He's so great. And with him was the introduction of his parents, which we saw in the first scene, Tier L and Charisse L. Mm-hmm. They are the father and mother of Seg. Tier L ends up becoming a clerk for the Vex clan, which is just so, we'll hit that later. But Charisse actually was a pilot before the Rao movement took over, and now she's kind of not. Yeah, so
okay.
That's why she... We'll see her come and swoop.
That's right. Yeah, saving her son later on.
So, and then in that intro scene of Seg, we see how they have kind of this cryptocurrency. You know what I'm saying? And you see that they are the rankless because his grandfather Val El was denounced basically the Raoist faith and was saying there is something coming, there is something in space, we are not the only ones, and trying to save the civilization, which ends up becoming the El's main purpose, is for Krypton and being the heroes of Krypton's survival, trying to help that. So and then we get to the scene where his father, Seg's father, forgets his medicine, and that's where things really started turning.
Right.
So what do you think of that?
It does a great job of like getting us to the point where we need to be. So we're talking about when he's like, pretty much he has to go get the medicine and stuff.
Yeah, he forgets the medicine, so he has to go into where all the Vex and the main leader is.
Right. And then, and then they run into like a little guard and gives them a little like trouble and whatnot.
Yeah.
That was cool. So like our main takeaway from that whole scene was like to incite the incident of the suicide bomber pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
which we loved that scene.
Yeah. I thought it was really, I've never seen like It's kind of like body horror. It's like a bomb inside of an arm. I thought it was like a really cool original idea. It's kind of like somewhat predatory, where he has like the little gauntlet on him and stuff, but like it's like bioorganic bomb.
Yeah,
it's weird, but I thought it was awesome. Cool, and I was like, oh, how do you get rid of a bomb that's attached to, oh, you just like cut it off. So like they shoot the arm off, and yeah, so pretty much because of his wittiness of like being able, his keen, like he's being able to see what it was, pretty much the cause and effect of that, he gets adopted into the house of Vex.
Vex. Yeah, I thought this scene was a really big scene to understand Seg a little better, because I think Seg didn't, he's not naturally knows like good versus evil, good versus bad, you know, all of his decisions aren't necessarily ethical. I think he's more guided by the people he loves, which is his parents, his girlfriend at the time. And I think that's why he was able to make that quick decision to warn everyone that he was going to blow up the place because his father was there. Mm-hmm. But I think it introduced him. I mean, it's what is set the stage for everything else. Like you said, he gets into the Vex clan, which was so crazy because he just daddied him in front of his own daddy.
Yeah, I love that scene where he's like, I'm adopting you into our family. You'll take up a new surname, my name, called the Vex. And when he sees that, you see Seg's eyes, and he shifts off to the dad, and it cuts to the dad, and the dad's eyes shift back to him.
Yeah.
And I was just like, you hear that, daddy?
Yeah, like, oh, and mind you, Darren Vex is the grandpa killer. He killed Val-El.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's just the nerve he has.
Right? Imagine the frustration Seg has to endure for that.
Yeah, and then it doesn't stop there.
Oh, yeah, he's betrothed
back to... Back in this version, in this Krypton, basically what's happened is the natural ways of reproduction have stopped, and now it's all basically by science. But we do see that recreational sex is still a thing there that we'll touch with.
You're right. Yeah, but, that's a good point.
What he makes it even worse that he just betroths his daughter Nissa to Seg. So they're going to end up, and then that takes us to the next scene, mm-hmm. with more of the introduction of her character. So what do you think about her? Because she's giving me Cersei Lannister vibes.
I was about to say, here's one, I think one key thing to take away from what she said at the end is that, like, you're not the only one, no, father wasn't the only one who chose you. So in a sense, it's like, she's not fighting that he's the one she's, like, paired with.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe she might have some ulterior motives behind that.
Definitely. Yeah. I think she's kind of similar to Cersei in the sense that her whole life seems manipulated by her father and mm-hmm. by the family that she represents. And now she's getting older, and I think that she's going to be a major mover behind the scenes in setting her own agenda.
Yeah.
So I really want to know what her plans are, because she definitely has something planned.
Yeah, she's getting her puppets ready. Yeah. For sure. Yeah, she's getting her puppet show ready and everything. I gotta say, it is very interesting to see where she's going. And I don't think her father even knows what she has in plan. We don't know. This is barely like the cracks of like her plan.
Yeah.
We're barely starting to see like one puzzle.
Yeah. That Genesis chamber, that's what it is, where see kind of the the whole, how basically you can go there and you can see what your baby will turn out to. They put them into a guild. They say what kind of job they're going to have, what kind of person they're going to be. I mean, it's really creepy, mm-hmm. but it's a really important scene of kind of world building. So that's the scene where I kind of started understanding like how deep this mythology, this weird ruling ship has gone and how far they've taken it.
Right.
In terms of basically like fake babies but real babies.
it's like what do you call it when you do like the fetus embryo like control or
in vitro.
Yeah,
or
but like times,
the genetic engineering,
but like, yeah, exactly, but like times 100, and it's also
times 100,
and also like for political gain too.
Yeah,
pretty much. I also read, just real quick, a little fact on Nissa. I believe I read somewhere, I don't know if it's official, but I believe that Seg was the first rankless that she's ever met.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Which is pretty interesting.
Yeah, that makes sense, because I think the Vex family, this is what I love about the world building that we've gotten in Krypton. It's very social class, mm-hmm. and guild based. And it literally is the rankless are at the bottom of the city. And as the higher you are ranked, the higher you are. So it would right. make sense that she has no, she's never even been below. She has right. no idea what those people are like.
Yeah, it's also established that the like the higher ranks live higher in, yeah. in Krypton while everyone is like the street urchins.
Yeah, I love that metaphorical yeah. reality.
Also, I think something to touch on as well is that he was assigned to the science division, and his son, who's Superman's father, eventually Jor,
his soon to, his soon to,
future son of Seg, right? So yeah, Jor-El is actually Krypton's like greatest scientist, so it makes sense that they're setting
yeah,
him up to be.
Yeah, and Val-El was such a great scientist.
Yeah, exactly.
Which we find out a little bit more about that.
But it was heresy.
Exactly. That's why. Well, let's start how that happened. How we found out more about Grandpa okay. Was the introduction of Strange. So can you give us a little? Do you want to give us a little like info? Bring us to that scene.
So, So in context, so pretty much we had seen Strange around, like walking around in the bar scene before he eluded him. But then Strange comes to him like after. All that, and he gives him the key to the Fortress of Solitude.
The Sun Key.
Yeah, and then he tells him that pretty much he's needed to save his like great grandson who will be like the great savior of Earth.
Yeah, so, like Superman won't exist without you, who is the greatest person on our planet. And he's time traveling, so then we start to see that the way he time travels is through something that doesn't give him that much time there. So his messages are short.
Right.
But we see him, so he gives him the Sunstone, and that's what starts building the plot a little bit deeper. He goes back to his parents and kind of is like, what the heck is this? Mm-hmm. They lie about it, but they clearly know what it is.
Yeah, exactly.
He takes it, and then while that plot line is going on, we have the different plot line with the warrior type military guild.
Right. Yeah. So it cuts
House
to
House of Zod.
House of yeah. For the most part, those are the ones who are introduced. So we have Lita and Allura. So yeah. So Allura is like kind of like the governor in the military there. What it looks like, she's like governing everyone and seeing what's
very
happening.
Very into honor.
Yeah. So pretty much, so Lita fights her mom, and she proves not to best her mom. And pretty much what I got from this scene is that how do you pronounce her? Lita or either? I'm gonna go with Lita.
Lita.
Right? Sorry about that. But yeah, so what
we're
I got,
getting used to Kryptonian language, right? You guys. I'm bear like, with us.
I mean, if it was up to me, it'd be Lita.
Yeah, but this scene was really cool because it really showed you how serious these guilds are taken and how it's really, in this world, the guild you are is basically your personality. And you see the mother taking that to the extreme where she is setting kind of an example and fighting her daughter, and the daughter says mercy, and then she stabs her in the hand because she says that we never ask for mercy.
Right.
And that's basically so against their clan. So that was a cool introduction to kind of what kind of character she is, which she ends up playing a bigger deathly role later in the episode.
Oh yeah, for sure. And also I think it establishes the relationship between the mother and the daughter, and how the daughter feels like inadequate, like or doesn't feel like she lives up to what the mother expects from her, you know?
Yeah, and she's also Seg's, like, they love
interest,
each other.
Yeah.
And the mom knows that. All the parents, both parents, I think, are aware of that, they know that.
But she's actually betrothed to Dev-Em, which is, Dev-Em is the one who chose, like, when the mother asks him, what will she do, like, weapons or hand to hand? And he goes, hand to hand.
Oh, yeah.
Which also goes, like, into, like, it kind of touches on, like, I don't know, like, men controlling women in a sense. Kind of touches on that little topic a bit. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, like, pick selected marriages where people have no choice.
Yeah.
And it's basically just...
There's a lot of, like, predestination going around.
Yes.
Which is a little paradoxical. I guess we'll touch on that later.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
So then that's that plot line going. And then on the reverse, we have Seg kind of trying to figure out a little bit more of what the Sunstone is and what it does. And he ends up getting into He ends up getting found on the street with it. To fight his way out.
Yeah, after getting after knocking boots with Leda.
So on his way home from some sexual excursion. He gets caught and has to fight his way through, but luckily his mama was there to save the day.
Just straight swoop.
Yeah, and that's where she used her pilot skills, swooped him up.
Just comes down, swoops him up,
and takes him to our second main setting of this episode, and kind of going to be a continuous setting of the series, which is the Fortress of Solitude, which is a place we all know and have seen before.
Right.
So what did you think of that, and what do you think Val-El will play in terms of the Fortress of Solitude?
Just real quick, I got like some like Daft Punk, Tron Legacy vibes off of it.
Oh, yeah.
They go off the grid, and then they go into, like, the little, like, secluded chamber.
Good point.
Yeah, I thought it was really
fun. Yeah,
like,
I love the scene. Outside of it, just, I feel like the visuals of this episode were really cool and dark and really made you feel like you were in Krypton.
Yeah. Speaking on, just, like, the Fortress of Solitude, so pretty much, I think, like, Seg, this is where Seg's gonna be doing most of his, like, background, like investigating pretty much of what his grandfather actually meant when he was telling that we're not alone and we're vulnerable, like Krypton's vulnerable.
And this is also the scene where his mom basically does the ultimate sacrifice because they're found by the governing powers, and she tells Seg to hide while she sacrifices herself, which brings us to the most traumatic part of the episode, which is where they are called to the in front of the council, which was very Star Wars vibes with the council making decisions and basically oppressing everyone who is not of rank.
Yeah. Before that does go, just real quick, I want to go back to how when the mother is taken away, she does drop the name of Black Zero.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't able to research some of that, but like if you guys can go ahead and comment on any information you guys have on Black Zero and all that, what that pertains to, that'd be great. Just comment on down below.
We know that that is an extremist group because they do touch on that a bit. Mm-hmm. We don't know if she's actually part of it, was actually a part of it, or just saying that as to like get them off their bat.
Yeah, I think she used that as a scapegoat like right away. I was like, oh, there she's guilty. Yeah. Like no one else, like just to focus solely on her, not even to like if she had any other like colluders with her.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the whole point of that. But yeah, I just found it interesting. I was like, Black Zero. Like,
yeah.
You know, I was like, what's that kind of thing? Oh yeah, but yeah, the most traumatic scene. Oh my God. They just get gunned down.
So we get to that scene and the mom, Vex is basically saying Darren Vex was saying you have someone who worked with you.
Mm-hmm.
You have the Sunstone. They know that they're trying to kind of collude with Val-El's original work, which was proving that Krypton was not alone in the world and that there was a maniac, aka Brainiac, coming to swoop them up. And so he knows that they're on to something, and that's why he's asking who else knows and trying to figure that out. And basically, it ends up being where the father then sacrifices himself, and they both get killed by Jaina Zod.
Yeah.
And what do you think about this? Do you think it was a mercy killing, or do you think she just was following the rule of law?
It could have been. Oh, damn, that's really tough to tell. I think it could have been like a little bit of both. Yeah, because I think it would have been a better fate than to just be like walk the plank and fall to your death kind of thing. It was quick and swift.
And I think this made Jaina's character, the scene following this, developed Jaina's character in a different way than I thought, where she was a lot more complex actually when she was talking to Darren Vex. And he was like, why would you shoot them? You killed the only two people that we could get, basically the only two main people we can get information of.
Mm-hmm.
And she was basically saying like, I follow Krypton first.
Right.
And I think my belief is that she's a conflicted character, but ultimately cares about the good of Krypton at the end. Mm-hmm. And though she's been following the new ruler of Rao, she, I think, will end up being an ally in some way or another.
Yeah, I can totally see that.
So then, from then, we're brought back to Adam Strange, where he basically, like you said, caused mm-hmm. all of this.
Yeah, but before that, we do see like how Lyta and Seg kind of break it off.
Oh, yeah. So in a matter of this 45-minute, 1-hour episode, Seg loses both parents, his girlfriend, and his grandpa in the intro. That is crazy in uh-huh. classic comics, DC comics, just to kill off everyone.
Yeah. Yeah. No one has fathers. Yeah. No one has parents ever. Yeah. That's funny. Sorry, I lost my train of thought because of the chat. There's just so many good things in the chat. I can't wait to touch on that. But sorry, continue.
So we get into with Adam Strange. Finally, Seg confronts Adam Strange in the Fortress of Solitude mm-hmm. after basically his life was completely flipped upside down and blames him, which he should, because like you were saying in the beginning, this would have never happened had Adam Strange not come from the future mm-hmm. and shown him this sunstone and caused all this havoc. So what do you think about that scene where they're talking? And I mean, it's a pretty iconic scene that we see. It leads up right. to the conclusion of the episode.
Yeah, and the ending shot of him holding the yeah. cape. I thought it was great. I mean, yeah, he has a right to be mad at Strange. I mean, rightfully so. He's he's the one who caused the events to transpire, making this whole snowball effect of head giving him the key. But I mean, I think it's something that had to happen in order for Seg to fully commit to his destiny, mm-hmm. which is pretty much he has to, what we see in this series, he's going to have to thrive and eventually come up in the world and somehow give birth to Superman, give birth to Jor-El, who then gives birth to Superman. But also I want to like touch on like his mental state at this moment. Like he's lost everything. He's lost his family.
Seg's mental state.
Yeah, Seg's mm-hmm. mental state. So he lost his family.
Yes.
He pretty much doesn't really, like, he just broke up with his girlfriend. He doesn't really have much in the world except for Cam, I guess, his homie still.
Mm-hmm. But even Cam says, don't come back here.
Yeah.
So, because you've made a rank for yourself now, and I don't, he's a great friend. He doesn't right. want him back in the streets.
Right. So, like, by the end of the episode, he pretty much has nothing except for his grandfather's Fortress of Solitude and the future cape, which I think is important because he doesn't have anything going on for him. He's gonna like fully delve into what is happening, delve into what he has to do, like, in order to play the game. Like, I don't know. He's definitely not someone who plays the game of politics, so he's going to play it very, like, aggressively. Mm-hmm. And I can't wait to see, like, what his strategies are.
I agree, because he's a little bit different than most protagonists that we see in that he was from the streets. Yeah. Like, he definitely has that grit and spunk mm-hmm. that isn't necessarily in a lot of the clean-cut yeah. superheroes right. or heroes that we see. So I think he's going to approach it differently. I love his sarcasm. I mm-hmm. think he's funny and witty. And so I really... I think he's going to start catching on to kind of what his destiny is and fill that role really great.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm glad you touched on the cape, because that is... the time clock of the entire episode. The cape represents how much time they have until Superman's existence is non-existence, essentially.
Really? What do you mean by that?
The more the cloak disappears,
uh-huh.
the more... that's how much time that they have to make sure that Superman stays...
Got it. So it's their indicator if they're following the right
yeah.
path.
Yeah. Yeah, it's their...
Yeah.
What is that called? The sand.
The sand of time?
No.
Like the
hourglass. Hourglass. It's their hourglass.
There you go. I was like, I'm getting there. Yeah, yeah.
So I think we touched on the main events that happened in this episode. Do you want to get into your special character corner? Or do you have any other thoughts about the main things that happened?
I just want to talk about, like, kind of like, I guess the theme of like predestination in a bit, because of how like
there's a few little, themes like, we can cut.
Yeah, like when they go to the baby, the whole like the Genesis chamber. So pretty much like he brings up like, isn't it weird knowing that he's gonna come out like in what ways and everything, and like I think it touches on like the whole theme of like what is our destiny, and does it matter what we do if that destiny is just always going to happen? It's just always going to run its course the way it's supposed to, because that's pretty much what Adam Strange did. Like, without Adam Strange, nothing would have happened. So it's like, I'm not sure if, like, is Seg against Destiny, or I'm not sure if he's against or for it, because either way, if he's against it, it's a little paradoxical, because
yeah.
the whole show is, like, it's like a weird paradoxical thing, because...
Agreed. Whole, Superman yeah. touches greatly on Destiny, I feel like, as a superhero in general. But that brings to a really good point of one of the main topics that I think we'll see continuously is kind of like a science versus religion and also just religious ideology in general, especially with the voice of Rao, which we see as this multi-faced gold masked man that we don't really know who he is.
Yeah.
I'd love to know who you guys think he could be under that mask, because clearly he's someone.
Just to call back to the live chat real quick, I believe it was Ivan Soto who says that it's actually a terrorist organization.
Oh,
but I'm not sure in like what
Black Zero?
In what context.
Or House of Rao.
Oh no, and I think House. Yeah, I think he was talking about Black Zero. Not
okay.
About it. Sorry,
yeah.
My bad.
No problem. And so, and then because this is Rao's victory. What the reason he gained power was because he took over Krypton's previous polytheistic gods and goddesses. Mm-hmm. So it's really interesting to see how a society has taken a religion and basically outlawed science, which it's also a huge technological society. So it's this constant, and we see that in modern day, this constant, like, people don't like science and people do like religion or don't like religion. So mm-hmm. that's really interesting. Some other themes, since we're hitting on that, is what you were saying, nature versus nurture, mm-hmm. and the whole, which kind of ties into class and rank, which right. I really like in this episode. And I think show in particular is the whole rank and class. And if you can go past that, no matter where you're born and how what your circumstances into. So I'm interested to see how, especially in the House of Zod and House of Vex, how the daughters play into their own roles and how what they were given and what they'll take.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely, yeah, it's something that's going to touch on, like, having a destiny set for you, but also, like, having a destiny set for you and going against it and seeing, like, how you pave your own destiny.
How you make yeah. your decisions,
yeah. which makes sense versus, like, where you're born and then where he's at mm-hmm. now. So it's kind of like a whole, like, start from the bottom and we're going to see where he gets to the top.
Yeah. yeah.
So, yeah, I'm very excited for that. Is there anything else we should touch on then?
And then the episode, I think we hit it all, but as always, tell us if we're not hitting something you wanted to hear. But I'm really excited to hear your character corner.
Right on. All right, so let's get into this character corner.
Which we're going to be doing weekly, you guys. It's basically going to cover one of the main characters that was hit in the episode, give their comic book background, kind of historical background and setting, and see where they'll play into this Krypton universe.
Yeah, so I wanted to do a character corner on Adam Strange. So, just to give a little background on him and everything. So this is not like completely canon to the show, but just like in general of who Adam Strange is. So his first appearance was actually on the Showcase number 17 back in November 1958. His creators were Julius Schwartz and Murphy Anderson, and he is actually a human archaeologist from Earth. So before the hero, before he became who he was, Strange was an accomplished explorer and archaeologist who specialized in gathering and studying lost artifacts found in the remains of ancient civilizations from all over the world. You can also see some pictures up here if iTunes listeners, there's if you want to hop on to YouTube, we have some pictures there for you. So continuing on, he is also an accomplished mathematician and algebraist. And so the inciting incident that makes him become the hero that he is that one day he's actually teleported from Peru to the planet of Ron through the use of a Zeta beam. And so we'll touch a bit more on that Zeta beam later. So from there, he's called upon to protect Ron from extraterrestrial threats. And so that becomes his like home planet in a sense. Mm-hmm. Instead of Earth, he becomes a home planet to Ron. And through his many battles there, he develops a skill set that makes him a resourceful survivalist using his cunning ingenuity and Ronian technology. He has tactical intellect that pairs with Batman and Lex Luthor, making him a masterful tactician and also a strategist. So he uses his wits and like, you know, Ron is also a very like dangerous environment, so he was like he got stronger because of living in such a harsh environment. Apart from that, he does have technology that he uses. So he has a spacesuit that has a built-in theta beam theta beam like conduit that that's actually able to transport him anywhere across the galaxy, along with thermal insulators that make him fireproof, and the suit also can adapt to its environment around him. His helmet has life support system that protects him from just like the dangerous environments he might encounter. And he also has a jetpack for sustained aviation. His weapon is of choice is a Ronian laser pistol, but he also has like other arsenal. Mm. So getting into the Zeta Beamer, so it's a Zeta Beam apparatus that originally it was supposed to be made to communicate with other planets that they shot at Earth, but on its way to Earth, I believe it took like 4.5 years to reach Earth. It was actually altered through radiation in the atmosphere and turned it into an instant teleporter, and so that's how it hits Peru. Like once they shoot it 4 years later, it hits Peru. Adam just happens to be in that spot and just like boom gets teleported back. And so he's actually, and because of like his algebraic background and everything, he's actually like to reverse engineer it, and so he does turn it into a teleporter, and that's why he's able to teleport to Krypton from Detroit in Krypton. That's my guess, you know?
Yeah.
Like bringing it back to the show. Like.
And I loved how he had the Detroit hat.
Yeah,
and
the
then
D.
thinking they had that kind of like, I feel like this Superman joke where they always do like Planet of Detroit. Like
yeah.
They think that Earth is Detroit because that's the one thing that they have to hold on to.
Right, yeah. I thought it was pretty cool. So yeah, that was just a quick character corner on who Adam Strange was, because he plays a very vital role in this episode and
yeah.
like the history of Batman apparently. I'm yeah. Batman, sorry, Superman.
Yeah, I mean he Superman. Is the reason, at least in this world where Superman is the Superman, we have him to thank for
yeah.
saving our world.
Yeah, at least
here
in this
Earth.
Canon for sure. Yeah.
yeah.
So yeah, just a quick little thing. All right.
So do we have any fan shout-outs?
Well, oh, yeah.
Throughout these episodes that we'll be doing, we're going to hit fan shout-outs for those of you who are in the chat with us right now. So, Anthony, is there anyone in particular?
Yeah, real quick. So, of course, Ivan Zotto, per usual.
Yeah,
Ivan,
you
always
rock,
there.
Ivan.
This guy I've never seen. Marvin Richardson, thank you for joining
us.
Shout-out. We got Chaos 13212. We have Jake Carter as well in the chat. We have Nella J., Star Drew, of course, my bro on a Box Office Breakdown. So thank you all for joining us and for giving us all the live chat. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to like to peek at the chat too much because this was such a dense episode and
yeah,
I had to listen to everything.
Yeah, this episode will be a little different than the usual episodes because we're just being introduced to this entirely new world and universe,
right.
And we really wanted to break down the setting so that future episodes we can really hit on more what's going on. And this episode was, in general, a setup episode.
Yeah, exactly.
For the fall.
Establishing everything. Yeah.
yeah. So what I know you have some news and gossip from our very own Seg.
Ooh. AfterBuzz TV News.
Yes, we do, actually. So let me just go ahead and find that. So pretty much it is... Oh, yeah, here we go. So news and gossip. Yeah, so it was just like a cool... It's just a nice little quote by Cameron Cuff, who plays Seg on the show. I took it as a way to, like, a mindset to go into the show with, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So he says... This is not a superhero show. No one is fighting crime or slapping on a mask. No one is fighting for truth, justice, and the Kandorian way. There is no freak of the week. No one sees his parents get murdered and must seek revenge. Like all great sci-fi, it's not about aliens or robots. It's about the people, which I could not agree with more.
Yeah, and I think, like I said, he's the perfect pick for this because, like we've read, but he is a huge... comic book fan and
Superman
fan in particular, so you can really see his commitment to the character off screen. Like I could feel that he was totally in his character. He knew what his character represented, and I feel like he's just gonna do a great job growing as the character, developing his like good versus evil type traits.
Yeah, you're right. And also touching on Adam Strange, who's played by Sippo, but what's his first name real quick? Mischaracters. Sean Sippo. So he was also like a huge Superman fan too, and he tried out for Smallville And I believe he wanted to be the main character in Smallville, but he didn't get in.
Oh,
but
wow.
I believe he did appear in one of the seasons later on.
I think he did.
Yeah. And then after that, he's just super grateful to be on this show and be, like, related to, like, a comic book.
I love that.
Book.
Especially with sci-fi and comic book and fictional type things. Mm-hmm. You can really tell the difference when a character is really into that character.
Right.
Or has at least learned and respected the history behind the character.
Yeah, and he kind of, like, interests me the most, like, in this episode for sure.
Yeah.
Kind of want to learn, like, where are you coming from?
Yeah. Who are you?
Yeah, who are you, Adam Strange? But, yeah. But I'm also excited to see how SEG is able to navigate the politics of this world.
Yeah. Speaking of that, I think we should get into some predictions.
Yeah, let's do it.
And now, you're after Buzz TV.
Okay, so
what you got?
Like we said, this is kind of a setup episode, so I don't have that. I have more questions and predictions.
Mm-hmm.
My predictions are that we will find out more about Brainiac. I really want to know exactly what time zone he is in right now, because I know his plan is to take over Earth and defeat Superman, obviously. So I want to know where he is, what he's planting to himself, and how he's going to go about that. My second thing is I think we're going to find out more of the voice of Rao and kind of who is the man behind the mask. Behind the three-person mask or four-headed mask.
Yeah, I think that's a weird mask.
And I think we will see development with Seg in his role in the guild, but also trying to, I don't know if he'll be outlawed. I'm worried about where he left off with his parents.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're going to see Val-El come back to speak to him in the Fortress of Solitude.
Mm-hmm. That was actually going to be one of my predictions, which is, it's more like things I want to happen.
Yeah, yeah, like, that's where I'm at right now.
Like, I want to see more flashbacks with Val and, like, how he shaped his, like, childhood in a sense. Like,
yeah.
How was that child and grandpa, like, you know, grandson-grandpa relationship? Mm-hmm. Like, how was that established?
And he probably has so many questions for his grandpa too, because I'm sure he didn't know any of the science behind his work.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think he really had an understanding of why his whole family was outlawed and his grandfather was killed in front of him.
Yeah. Or it definitely didn't reveal that mentality in this episode. Yeah. So yeah, maybe we'll find out more of why that happened. It definitely has something to do with the I'm calling it the cult of Rao. That's what I saw online. I don't know if it's canon to this episode. I'm sorry. Go ahead and correct me. That'd be fine. That's fine.
Yeah, correct us.
Yeah, but also I want to see if it's possible if the grandfather had other people working with him, and where did they go? Like, in because you could have had like a whole team working in the Fortress of Solitude.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's possible there might be some other members that Seg could like team up with in the future.
Yeah.
And they'll use the Fortress of Solitude as a base of operations to, like, you know, crack down on like the real conspiracy of what's behind Krypton and Kandor and everything.
Yeah, and Val-El, did we mention how he is in Game of Thrones as Ser Barrister?
I'm sorry? Oh, did he come out in... Okay.
He is in Game of Thrones, so you guys might have recognized him from there, and he's just... I really love him, so I hope he does come back in the Superman type way in, you know...
Like a hologram?
Yeah, hologram type way. But do you have any finishing thoughts about this episode?
Overall, I like the episode. I can't wait to see how it unfolds.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely a very... I think it's leading up to be somewhat of a Game of Thrones-esque kind of show, which I don't mind. I'm down for that. Like, we have a fantasy. Let's have a sci-fi.
Yeah.
Why not? Like, if it can be as great as that, like, I hope it will be. Like,
I agree. If we can somehow mix that whole guild type of world building with politics and status with this sci-fi type comic book mentality, I think that would be such a great best of both worlds thing for me.
Yeah, it definitely like sets it up like that because with all the houses and all the guilds and everything.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I can't wait to see more.
Yeah, but that's all for us, you guys. We'll see. Next episode will be House of L, which will be March 28th. Okay. And we will see you guys next Sunday at 4 p.m. Make sure you follow all AfterBuzz Media. YouTube, make sure you comment, subscribe, like. If you're listening on podcast, remember to like, share us. And I'm Steph Sabra. You can follow me on Instagram at Steph Sabra and on Twitter at Steph Sabra. And Anthony, where can they follow you?
Yeah, hello, everybody. Again, my name is Anthony Becerra, and you can follow me everywhere at TonyBTony_. So it's just TonyBTony_ everywhere on Instagram and Twitter. And also, you can find me on Tuesdays at the Popcorn Talk Network for the show I host along with others, called Horror Movie News, where we just go over the news of horror in the past week. And we've
spooky.
Had like, yeah, I love horror movies, so it's like pretty great. We're gonna talk about Unsane. We're gonna like unpackage that and talk about that coming this Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific time. And also, you can hear my voice on Marvel TV News and DC Movie News, and Marvel Movie News, actually.
Good. Yeah. I want to hear more of you anyways.
So. Oh, thank you. Appreciate
but we'll
that.
See you guys next week.
Yeah, peace out, everybody. Bye-bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz see you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.